our guest tonight, Dr. Michael Rice, and he has incredible experiences. But tonight we're specifically talking about what the Avicen does with what and what is parasympathetic, why is it so important? And so that's why I brought Dr. Rice on.
Cool. Well, delight to be here.
We
Honored
are
to be
honored.
here.
We're honored to have you here.
Cool. Well, since the primary action of the Avicen is to impact microcirculation, what I'd like to do is kind of lay out a structure to take a look at how the sympathetic, parasympathetic interact with each other and interact through the Avicen. And people sometimes tend to think of, well, we've got the sympathetic over here and the parasympathetic over here, but in fact, it's kind of a continuum. It's like, my background's in electronics, and if you had a piece of electronic equipment, you had a slider and you moved it from one side to the other, a continuum, and that's basically what the Avicen does, or pardon me, what the sympathetic parasympathetic system does, and each one has their own role to play. And depending on whose figures you accept, they're somewhere between 10 and 40 billion capillaries that, when you stretch them out, cover, would stretch out to about 100,000 miles of surface area. And at the head of each capillary, there's a control mechanism that's operated either consciously or unconsciously by the mind. And that control mechanism either allows the blood to pass or restricts its flow, creating the dominance of either the sympathetic or the parasympathetic. This is, I think, is the control mechanism and is the core of what causes one to be in one dominant state or the other. If the blood flow is restricted to the organs related to the parasympathetic dominance, then the release of sympathetic dominance is not very likely to happen. We're going to tend to stay stuck there. And they refer to as the parasympathetic as the rest, digest, and thrive, where the sympathetic dominant state is powerful and useful, and it's all about survival. And so the control mechanism, it's called the precapillary sphincter or precapillary orifice, is a smooth muscle that through contraction can cut off blood flow to that rest, digest, parasympathetic nervous system. And that results in what we call sympathetic dominance. And that sets the body up for ultimate survival. When restricting or bypassing the delivery of blood and energy to whole areas of the body that are not important to immediate survival, things like digestion, kidney function, elimination, reproduction, heat circulation of the skin are temporarily, at least theoretically, temporarily compromised. And that's a good thing. The resources that are conserved by this action accentuate blood flow to the organs that enhance survival. So think of yourself, you're in a parasympathetic state. You're in that rest, digest, you're thriving, you're just feeling great, you're rocking along, and all of a sudden, you tap into the fact that you can feel your whole body's being supplied with what it needs, the nerve flow, the blood flow, the oxygen, the nutrition, adequate circulation for enzymes that break down toxic waste. I mean, you're just really in a good space. Just kind of imagine yourself there, and all of a sudden, you hear a threatening sound. And the mind produces a thought of imminent danger. What happens? I mean, actually imagine yourself there. You're just blissed out, and all of a sudden, there's this sound that produces a thought of threat, imminent danger. What happens? The body responds with appropriate preparation as it goes into fear mode. Notice the tightening throughout the forearm. Billions of muscle fibers at the head of the capillaries are preparing for action. Restriction or redirection of the breath. And notice that there's even an inclination when you hear that sound to physically rise up. You're going to go into some form of physical action. You go into protect mode. Fright that produces the readiness to flee, to fight, or perhaps freeze takes place. And this action creates a closure of blood and energy flow to all of those non-survival functions. It literally shuts off the blood to things like digestion, elimination, and reproduction. The blood is shunted to bypass those non-survival functions. It creates a reserve of energy for survival and prepares you to powerfully and creatively handle whatever the threat is. And that's a good thing. It's great. Generally speaking, in the short term, when there's an actual threat. But when due to repeated stimulus, this becomes chronic, such as, let's say, an angry parent, it can lead to a sympathetic dominant condition where thoughts of threat and emotions created by those thoughts get locked into tissue. And my offering is the tissue it gets locked into is that precapillary orifice. Locks it down. You think about 40 billion capillaries with these muscle fibers that allow blood to flow or stop blood flowing into that parasympathetic state. And again, think about that threatening sound and what happens. Those 40 billion muscle fibers are going into action to produce the power and the clarity that it needs to keep yourself safe. So my offering is that literally mind energy, it's interesting, you know, my work and original work and what I've done for the last almost 50 years is work with the first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness. And in Aramaic, forgiveness doesn't mean I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. If something triggers a sympathetic dominant response in me and there's no reason for it in the actual world, I'm in trouble because my physiology is compromised. I move out of thrive and I move into survival. Which short term, again, that's great. But long term, it's big time trouble for just about every function of the body. So that I'd offer that mind energy, the opening words in the book of John, where they tell us, it says, in the beginning was the Word and the Word became flesh. It doesn't say that in Aramaic. What it says is in the beginning was the mind energy and the mind energy became flesh. And what the cell biologists are telling us is literally when we think a thought, that thought produces an actual molecule within our bodies. That molecule is called a neuropeptide, and the neuropeptide circulates around in the structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. If it's a thought of threat, what kind of cell do you suppose it's going to go to? It's going to go to one of those that produces that safety place, that survival place called sympathetic dominance. And if that energy is not dealt with properly and cleared out, then there's going to be trouble in physiology over the long term. So my offering is that literally that mind energy, that neuropeptide, locks into that smooth muscle that is the precapillary sphincter. And one becomes, let's say, in the case of maybe a parent who is violent and vicious, the child goes into a hypervigilant state. What happened? The threat becomes locked into that survival tissue that has to do with microcirculation. And when that happens, the child becomes hypervigilant. They say, oh, this child has ADHD. It's a disease. Excuse me, it's not a disease. That thing they call ADHD is a very powerful protect mechanism that keeps the child in a space where he continuously is scanning the environment for the next threat in order to remain safe. And sure, that's not a great place to be if you're going to school and you're supposed to listen to a teacher. But it's not a disease. It's not a disorder. And if they treat it as one, then we're in trouble. If they realize that it's got to do with this survival mechanism, and they start learning how to remove the interfering patterns that don't belong in that smooth muscle, then we're going to have healing instead of disease. So when this sympathetic dominant place occurs, the heart pumps greater volumes of blood, the lungs operate to take in more air, the brain becomes more alert, the liver converts glycogen to sugar, it turns fat into energy for the large muscles and the blood flow to the large muscles so that one can fight or run. We're prepared for action. It's a wonderful protect mechanism. But if it's labeled a disorder in the child who's hypervigilant in order to protect themselves, then there's going to be problems in that child's physiology. And the child who grows up with that, never knowing how to resolve it, ends up suffering physiologically, the mind impacting the body. So when the mind becomes preoccupied with fear, a very powerful physiological mechanism of protection comes into play. And all kinds of symptomatic hacks are applied, and those hacks exacerbate the problem instead of dealing with the cause. Thought disorders giving center stage to imminent danger where there is none causes as real a restriction of blood flow and oxygen flow as true danger does. The mind cannot tell the difference between a real and a present threat, and an unresolved memory of danger elicited by random situations and events around us create that kind of response in the body. If you want more information about that, you can go to my website, which is whyagain.org, and you can download my book free. Happy to have you have that, and we go much more deeply into that.
Can you say that again, and I'll type it, Dr. Michael?
Sure.
Why again?
whyagain.org is our website. You can download my book free from there. It's actually out of print right now. Amazon and eBay tend to have used copies available, but we don't have it in print at this moment. We also have the world's only forgiveness app, and I'll talk a little bit as we go on about how forgiveness takes us out of the sympathetic dominant state into the parasympathetic state. Forgiveness does not mean what our Greek-oriented, backward culture tells us it is. Forgiveness has nothing to do with, I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. We need to move into a space of living and forgiving continuously, but never forgiving anyone or ourselves, because forgiveness has nothing to do with me letting you off the hook because I've gone into a sympathetic dominant state. The word forgive in Aramaic, its original, the original technology on the planet, means remove. If you've got that neuropeptide, literally that chemical locked into that smooth muscle, and every time something that sounds like threat comes along, it's activated and you cut off circulation, you need to forgive. You need to remove that neuropeptide from those cells so that that circulation can open up. You can go back into that sympathetic dominant state and live as you're designed to, in a state of thriving. And you can also go to your app store on your phone and type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness, and you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. You can do the process right there on your phone, and 5 days a week I do a radio show from 1 till 2 o'clock Eastern time, and you can access that. What for me I discovered shortly after getting my own Avacyn is that Avacyn is a form of physical forgiveness. It does exactly what the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness does, only on a physiological level. So it enhances the whole process of removal of what doesn't belong. So if the activity of a thought disorder of danger where there is none becomes chronic, instead of a positive state of readiness, fatigue and depletion set in, and all the recovery resources that are there to support us in healing become overwhelmed. There's a thing called the exhaustion phase of the general adaptation syndrome that was developed by stress expert Hans Selye. And entering into that phase is where breakdown happens. And medicine just doesn't know what to do with that. The Avacyn does. It knows exactly what to do with that. So the restriction and stagnation of blood, oxygen, and nutrient flow creates a waste buildup. Now, think about the stench of a swamp where the river used to flow, but trees fell, it's become blocked up, and all of a sudden you've got nothing but overgrowth and organisms there that don't belong in a fresh flowing river. And what do you have? You have exactly the same condition as this stagnated flow by the closing down of these precapillary sphincters. And until that's opened, which is to me what the Avacyn just does so powerfully, there's really not much of a way to resolve it in our culture. So when that stagnant blood isn't allowed to flow through, acidic byproducts of metabolism, including acidic carbon dioxide and the resulting congestion, tends to crystallize, harden, and accumulate in the tissue right there at the capillary head and through the capillary into the tissue. So elimination is now restricted. And with elimination inhibited by the lack of flow due to that massive congestion, even if the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic system were stimulated, the restriction of oxygen nutrients needed by the organs that are so stimulated would tend to result in continuing cell degeneration, dysfunction, and putrefaction. And that putrefaction is an ideal food supply for infectious organisms to grow. You know, there's an old saying in naturopathic medicine, if you feed them, they will come. If you remove the food supply for the organisms whose purpose it is to reduce toxic waste, you know, those bacterial infections aren't enemies. If there's no food supply for that bacteria, it can't grow. It doesn't grow. But if you create a swamp in the capillaries, then there's a food supply and they're going to grow. So that swamp, whether it's in or out of the body, it's the same thing. The reducer organisms don't need to be poisoned out of existence, but they'll die of starvation if you don't have that putrefaction going on. So the pathway to energetic flow into the organs is controlled by the parasympathetic nervous system, and its blood flow through that precapillary orifice or that sphincter that, when it opens, helps to create that flow. And my experience, you know, I teach a workshop on intuitive development. And in that workshop, I teach people how to perceive things differently than through our standard intellectual sensory data, like how to tap into what different symbols and things mean. And back about maybe 8 or so months ago, I was laying there with my hand in the avacyn, and I basically do about an hour of meditation each morning. I do a radio show for an hour each day, and I'm sitting still, so my hand's in the avacyn. And the evening, I do about another half hour. So I usually do about 2.5 hours a day. And so one day, I'm laying there with my hand in the avacyn. All of a sudden, I have, and this is, you know, what I teach people to do, how to perceive things differently than intellect shows them to us. And all of a sudden, I get this, I have this flash of this little guy with a hammer and chisel going into my cells and starting to whack away at the acidic deposits there. Carbon dioxide, a waste product of metabolism, and acidic waste crystallize when there's no flow over them to keep them cleaned out. And so that was my direct experience of exactly what the avacyn was doing for me. And I can remember it was shortly after that. I was almost dead 4 or 5 times the first year of my life. They told my mother that and my father that I wasn't going to make it through the first night. So my dad had to get down there if he was ever going to see me alive. And it wasn't until about 6 months ago, it was actually shortly after that, that I woke up. When I had my hand in the avacyn, and I woke up, I went to sleep, and I woke up and I took a breath. And it was like, it was the first breath I'd had in my life. As a result of, and I realize now, you know, that the lungs are one of the most capillary rich part of the body. That's how oxygen, when it's given to the alveoli, is transferred into the bloodstream through capillaries. And so this, when you take this capillary orifice and it's the muscle fibers are locked tight, and, you know, I think it's powerful that the FDA has this device approved for relaxation. What happens when you pour warm blood over a muscle? It relaxes. The precapillary orifice lets go. For some people, for the first time, maybe in decades, especially children who's been brought up in threatening environments. So if chronically held shut, these capillary orifices are kept that way by fear-based thinking, then one, in order to thrive, has to enter into that parasympathetic state where those muscles relax and allow blood flow into the areas of the body that contribute to well-being, where all of the tissue is supplied with the needed blood, oxygen, nutrition, and nerve flow. According to a man named Dr. John Sarno, he's a back surgeon. He has the best definition of back pain I've ever heard. And I lived with back pain until about 10 years ago when I started to work with Dr. Sarno's work. And here's what he says back pain is. It's unconscious rage.
Wow.
And that when it's caused by the mind, when I think rage, what happens? Things tighten, right? What happens when things tighten? Blood flow is reduced. Sarno says a 5% deprivation of oxygen to a cell leaves that cell in excruciating pain. Now, this is a guy who's a professor of rehabilitation medicine at New York University School of Medicine, and his work is just phenomenal when you start realizing that this oxygen flow, that this nutrient flow is what's needed in order for health to happen. So, as I said, my work over the last 40 years has been about forgiveness and the way the mind functions, not just through the brain, but through every cell in the body. that work of removing the interfering pattern. Yep, it's there for survival. And if you need it, yay, thank God we got it. But if I don't need it, and it goes on and on and on and on, I've compromised every thriving system in my structure by that lack of the presence of love and my focus into fear. So again, the avicen I see as a physical form of forgiveness. It literally softens that tissue. There's a woman that I worked with, I actually started working with almost 20 years ago. And she had been in an abusive family system as a child, at the age of 16, escaped from her family home to get married, and ended up spending 3 years in a relationship with an extremely physically, mentally, emotionally, and sexually abusive man. I met her, started to work with her as a client about 25 years later, and the rage and the pain of that experience was still carried with her at just about every turn. She started to apply and utilize the forgiveness process, and probably over a period of 15 years or so, got to the point where that was reduced by, if I had to put a number on it, I'd probably say 50%. At that point, I introduced her to the avicen, and she started to use it, and she uses it twice a day, 30 minutes twice a day. And now, just about a year later, I would say that the energetic trauma from that early 16 years and then the 3 years with her former husband, and I'm talking about the mental emotional trauma now, as well as her physical pain level, which was pretty severe at that point at the age of about 55. After 15 years of working with forgiveness, she was down to about 50%. In the next year, at least 90% of that 50% was gone using the avicen, the one difference that she had. And to me, what the avicen does, because it provides circulation, is resolves a myriad of things that medicine has no clue what to do with. And so that's my, you know, the first prescription I give to people is forgiveness. And then I say, now get your hand in the avicen. Both of them, because when we clean up, when we're able to confront, one of the reasons for a lot of people why forgiveness isn't all that powerful is because you have to confront your unresolved pain and trauma. What I've found with people, and I've worked with over the last year about 50 different people, specifically having them on the avicen, what I've found is that people resolve their emotional traumas without having to go as deeply headlong into them as they otherwise would. And I believe it's because that softening of that tissue opens the energy flow. And when that flow is restricted, tissue can hold on to things. And I'm talking about literally the chemicals of mind energy. And when that tissue softens and lets go due to the heat flowing over that precapillary orifice, the tissue lets go of the root of its trauma, literally of its thought disorders and the physiological effects of it. And so my take is what it does is it takes people out of the sympathetic state. I have another woman that I worked with just in the last year, and she had a PEMF device that she'd had for about 5 years. She paid $6,000 for it. And when I talked to her about the avicen, and I particularly talked to her about sleep with it, and she was like, "No, I sleep really well. But okay, you want to loan it to me? Okay, I'll try it." She used it one night. She said, "I thought I slept well." She sold her PEMF device and bought an avicen after one night on it.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
She thought she slept. She really wasn't. And I've seen that over and over and over. Mm-hmm. So that's my take.